Good evening, everyone, and welcome to RCN Sports Talk. I'm Chris Michael, and we broadcast live every Thursday starting at 7 p.m. discussing local, regional, and national sports comments. Of course, we will be introducing our special guests in just a few moments here in the studio, and we'll be playing trivia and giving you a chance to win a very nice prize. But leading off the program, let's introduce our special guest from ESPN, Major League Baseball draft analyst Eric Longenhagen is joining us. Eric, thanks for joining us on RCN Sports Talk tonight.
Oh, Chris, thank you for having me. It's good to talk to you again.
It's our pleasure to have you back. And, of course, this is your most hectic time of the year, so we really appreciate you spending a few minutes with us tonight. The draft overall, it's going to be starting early next week. I've been trying to read up on all the different draft prospects and what teams might do. So correct me if I'm wrong here, but if I could kind of glean some stuff off the information I've read, it seems that this year's draft is a little more heavy in terms of the top-line pitchers and not as much in terms of the position players. But what's your thoughts overall on the drafts, and am I missing a lot of position players or hitters that could sneak up and surprise the people in this year's draft?
Well, as far as high-end talent goes, in general, this draft is weak. It's probably the weakest one that people in the industry have seen since the year 2000 draft. Really, there wasn't anybody taking that draft other than Chase Utley, Adam Wainwright, and Adrian Gonzalez in the first round that really did anything of note. So up top, there's no Harper or Strasburg type, and so that's where the draft is really weak. There's also a lot of high school pitching. Not anyone who's a finished product, not anybody who's, you know, a no-doubt, can't-miss howitzer from Texas, like a Josh Beckett or anything like that. It's a bunch of projectable bodies with clean deliveries and good curveballs. You hope some velocity comes as they fill out. There's a lot of pitchers like that this year who are going to go somewhere in, you know, the back of the first round through the second round. And then there's a nice little crop of college middle infielders as well, second baseman who can hit, some guys who might be able to play shortstop and do a little bit of damage with the bat as well.
As far as the overall top players, everyone's focused on the top 10, top 15, top 20, and so forth. Who are some of the names that keep popping up for you as the most likely to be drafted in the top 10? And it seems like there's a lot of Vanderbilt players that have been mentioned a lot. Is that typical to have three or four Vanderbilt players mentioned in the top 20 or 25?
Vanderbilt always seems to have a lot of high-end talent. It's one of the few places that can really offer kids a chance to develop after high school in ways that other college programs can't. And they're obviously a great academic school. So you see a lot of kids won't sign out of high school if they're going to Vanderbilt or Stanford or UCLA, somewhere where there's a good baseball program as well as good academics. I don't think we have a chance this year for three Vanderbilt players to go in the top 10. And I don't believe three players from the same school have ever gone in the top 10 at the same draft before. Of course, the number one name from Vanderbilt this year is probably also going to be the first overall pick right now, is Dansby Swanson. There's a name for you. He's a shortstop at Vanderbilt. He looks to be the first pick in the draft. The Diamondbacks seem poised to take him. He's a shortstop who can play the position, despite the fact that he's a little short on arm strength. There's some power there. He's going to swing and miss a little bit. And then the other few top players in the draft are Dylan Tate, a right-handed pitcher from Cal Santa Barbara, who I saw last week up to 98 with a plus slider. Alex Bregman, a shortstop at LSU, who's done nothing but hit throughout all of high school and all of college in the best conferences, the best tournaments. And then Brandon Rogers, who would be the top of my board, is a shortstop from Lake Mary High School, who's another shortstop who projects to play at the position and hit for some power as well. I saw him hit a 97-mile-an-hour fastball last year at a showcase event and hit it to the wall at Petco Park in San Diego, which I'm sure you know isn't exactly the most, you know, it's not a bandbox or anything like that. It is a large stadium. So those are the top few names that will come off the board early on Monday.
Could you talk a little bit about the order of the draft and how it compares? Of course, the NBA draft and the NFL draft gets the lion's share of attention, but Diamondbacks are first, Astros second, Rockies third, Rangers fourth, and then the Astros as far as the top five. Phillies, of course, at number 10. Do teams kind of tip their hands because you don't see moving or trading up and so forth? Is there Any teams kind of leak and make it pretty well known as far as the top 10 who they're going to select, and can teams kind of start to set up who they're going to pick because there isn't a lot of moving or shaking, and a lot of the games that we hear in the media ahead of the NBA draft and the NFL draft isn't as common with the Major League Baseball draft.
Right, and this is actually my friends and I were having a discussion last night about why the baseball draft isn't more popular. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we talked about was that there's no trading of picks. It would just make things more interesting. You know, the one thing that's really different about baseball scouting than football scouting is you can scout football from a film room. You can put the All-22 film on in a room with three or four other people and talk and watch the film while nobody else knows whether or not you like that guy. If mm-hmm. you're a general manager or a scouting director or someone who's making the decisions in the first or second round of the draft, you're going to go see these kids. You have to see these kids in person. You have to see what the pitcher's stuff looks like from behind home plate. You have to get times down the line on hitters that you can only get in person because high school baseball games aren't broadcast nationally, certainly not from all the angles that you need to see the certain player you're looking at.
Sure, that's a good point.
Because of that, I can tell you players that Ruben Amaro has gone to see this spring. I can tell you who the Tampa Bay scouting director has been in to see out here in Arizona because they have to come. And so, yeah, they do sort of tip their hands in that way because I know who they're on, and they're on those players because they like them. They're not out here to waste their time. Yeah. So that is absolutely a thing.
As an old-school guy, I like to see that people aren't still relying on stats as much as some of the other sports where you can just sit back from afar and kind of pick and choose without really getting up close and personal and knowing people. As far as the teams in our coverage area and the teams of greatest interest to people watching, we'll start with the Phillies because I think this is, obviously, as you know, a huge draft for them. Ruben Amaro Jr.'s job could be on the line, and if 98% of the Delaware Valley has its way, this will be his last year, regardless of what happens. But what are some of the inclinations, and which direction do you think the Phillies will go in the draft? I know they would love to add some big-name bats, but as you talked about in the open, there's not a whole lot of big bats out there to be had, especially early on.
Yeah, certainly not anybody who's close to the major leagues as far as offensive impact goes. You know, you have the college shortstops, and they're all going to be fine, but there's not a big flopper at the top of the draft that they would be looking to take. If there is one, somebody who is more advanced, who has some power and has enough back-to-ball ability to get to that power, it's Ian Happ, who's a second baseman and outfielder from the University of Cincinnati. I saw Happ last year when Cincinnati was still coming into Philly to play Temple's now defunct baseball program. Yeah. And I like him a lot. It's above average power. It's above average hit tools. He's a switch hitter. It's a gorgeous, aggressive swing from both sides of the plate. He's someone that they might be on at number 10. They're rumored to like a lot of the more advanced college players like Happ, like Kevin Newman, a shortstop from the University of Arizona. And Amaro has been in to see Vanderbilt as well. And while Dansby Swanson has no chance of getting to them at 10, perhaps Carson Fulmer, their short right-handed pitcher, and Walker Buehler, their other right-handed pitcher at Vanderbilt, two guys who throw in the mid-90s with good breaking balls, those guys have a chance to be there at 10 as well. They also are on Tyler Stevenson, a catcher from Kennesaw Mountain High School in Georgia. Big 6'4 kid, big raw power, all brute strength, a lot of sort of unirotational swing, not a whole lot of athleticism in the swing, but a lot of power, and he looks like the kid's going to catch. He's big, mm-hmm. but it looks like he's going to catch. So those are the names that they're attached to right now with that 10th overall pick.
Yeah, the catching option would excite a lot of people because there's really only one or two legitimate blue-chip prospects right now in the Phillies organization behind the dish. As you well know, there's a lot of Yankee fans in our Lehigh and Delaware Valley audience, and of course, we also have some Met fans here. One of our staff members is a diehard Met fan who's not only thrilled they're doing so well, he's already bought his World Series tickets, which I think is a little presumptuous at this point. But any thoughts on the New York teams, the Yankees and Mets, who they're targeting at in the draft?
Well, the Yankees pick back at in the back half of the first round, and so there you're kind of just waiting to see who's going to fall to you. Mm-hmm. The guys that we've heard them on are a right-handed pitcher named Donnie Everett from Tennessee. He's just one of those big hoss kids who's touched 100 miles an hour, and that's kind of it. He's got some feel for a slider and doesn't really need a changeup right now because he's playing high school baseball in Tennessee and he throws 100 miles an hour. Those kids can't see anything he's throwing, let alone make contact with it. So that's a name, wow, I'd watch out for with the Yankees. Anybody at the back of that first round is probably going to be either one of the college middle infielders that's still there if you want someone who's going to move quick, or a projectable high school pitcher. That's where the value is going to be at the back of the first round.
Mm-hmm.
For the Mets, they have, I believe it's either the lowest or second lowest bonus pool in the whole draft, and they don't pick for quite a while. So if you're looking for someone who might make an impact this year because they're competing, there's a whole slew of college relievers in this year's draft that are either going to debut in the majors this year or next because they're just advanced. They are what they are. They'll throw in the mid-90s. They've got above-average sliders, and they throw enough strikes. That's Ryan Burr from Arizona State. That's Riley Farrell from TCU. That's Taylor Rainey from West Alabama. There's a whole bunch of those guys in this year's draft. If you're looking for bullpen help, you can get it with a Mets pick, and they will move quickly.
Mm-hmm. You know, one other team in our coverage area we're now seeing in the Washington, D.C. area, the Nationals. This could be a key draft for them because they remind me of where the Phillies were in 08 and 09 with a lot of people coming towards the end of their free agency or the end of their contracts and anticipation of free agency. It's kind of a win or bust year for the Nationals. And where the Phillies did not draft well, I think it's imperative that the Nationals continue to replenish their system to continue to have success going forward. So who are the Nationals looking at, even though they are without their first draft pick because of the new free agency rules and signing Max Scherzer in the offseason?
Yeah, the Nationals pick all the way back at 58, and I think they have another one at 69.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the thing they've done in recent years is take whoever's fallen to them because of injury. They did it with Lucas Giolito. They did it with Eric Seti last year. It's paying dividends with Giolito, boy. He's one of the few prospects in the minor leagues that I would say has ace upside. That is not a term I use lightly.
Mm-hmm.
He is the one guy who I would apply it to. So you think that maybe they would look to do that again in 2015. Who's hurt? Who's going to fall to us? Pay them whatever they want. It's a talented guy. If he stays hurt, he stays hurt. And if not, then we have a stud on our hands. But when you're picking all the way back at 58, it's hard for a guy like that to fall. Brady Aiken's not going to fall that far.
Mm-hmm.
He was the number one pick in the draft last year. His medicals have not come back good after his Tommy John surgery. After he didn't sign, but he's still not going to fall that far. Neither is Mike Montuella from Duke or Colby Aller from San Clemente High School. There's a lot of talented kids who have been hurt this year. None of them are going to get all the way back to 58. So what they're probably going to be looking to do is just take the best player on the board,
mm-hmm.
not necessarily have a strategy, let whatever falls to them come. And, again, any of those projectable high school arms, they could be on all the way back at 58. And then there's a guy, I know one of their West Coast cross-checkers who I've seen around has been up to see a kid named Caden Grenier at Bishop Gorman High School in Las Vegas. That's where Joey Gallo, the recent debutee for the Texas Rangers, that's
yeah.
his high school. High upside high school shortstop. Some mechanical things need to tweak in his swing to get him to him for a little bit more power, but I like him quite a bit, and I know that they've had some heat in to see him as well. So maybe keep an eye on that if he's not already gone.
Yep. Well, Eric, thanks so much for all your insights. I know it's a very busy time for you, so we really appreciate you taking some timeouts for us here on RCN Sports Talk tonight.
It's my pleasure. I'm always thinking about home. I'm always thinking about the Lehigh Valley. I miss high school basketball games at Caddy and everything that goes along with being back home. So it was a nice taste of that with you guys tonight.
Well, you missed a wonderful winter we had here. I can't imagine
sure.
Arizona was much better than the kind of winter we had here, the balmy weather conditions, and I think I went 3 days without shoveling. But
well, I saw a bird spontaneously combust on my bike ride to work this morning, so we have that going for us in June and July.
I'll take that any day, but thanks so much, and enjoy Arizona out there, Eric.
All right, Chris, have a good show.
All right, thank you. Eric Longenhagen, the outstanding ESPN Major League Baseball draft analyst. Of course, check his work out all over the web and at ESPN.com. All right, let's introduce our in-studio panelist and the man who proclaims himself to be the king, LeBron James hater across the East Coast, Mr. Joseph Linwood.
Hey,
Joe, how's LeBron James doing?
He's not doing too shabby. Tonight's the night, baby. People who have zeroed in and tuned out NBA basketball, this final between Golden State and Cleveland is a really good one. And I think if you like basketball, even if you don't like pro basketball,
this is a good one. Ripping LeBron James for the last 6 years?
I've never ripped him.
Come on, the decision.
Not me. See, you
make things up.
That
was Joe's take for like 8 weeks in a row. You just ripped them eight ways to Sunday.
That's absolutely untrue. You make things up. By the way, before I
get to... I suppose showing you the tape of you saying this.
Before we go too far, I do want to make two quick announcements. Bethlehem Catholic softball girls tonight beat Villa Maria 1-0, so they'll advance to the semifinals. And Parkland boys baseball won again. They beat Council Rock North 4-1.
2-1.
Oh, I had 4-1. 2-1. Yeah. Okay, but both teams advanced, so that's a great thing for Lehigh Valley.
And good luck for the Parkland girls. They play tonight, we'll have a video recap of Becca softball,
yes,
too.
Yes, that'll be on later in the show.
That's right. All right, a special in-studio guest here from left to right across your monitor, Dan Wakely, former Major League Baseball manager and now key member of the Depe All-Star staff, along with Frank Carrazzo, also former local baseball manager and Depe All-Star staff member. Gentlemen, thanks for coming in. Our tip-off question before we talk about the Depe tournament and a whole lot of other local baseball issues, I have to ask some knowledgeable baseball man this question, and Joe, too. I'll give you a chance.
And me, too. Did you notice I'm not included in knowledgeable?
Wait, you're
let me at least ask the question. Because you don't know, but you're a football guy. You don't know baseball. All right. Are there too many wild card spots in baseball? Because I'm looking around the standings the last few weeks, and we have the Orioles are in last place, and they're 3 games out of the playoffs. And the White Sox are in last place in the AL Central. They're 4.5 games out of the playoffs. The Phillies had one of their worst Aprils in the team's history, and they win 6 in a row, and all of a sudden they're 5.5 games out of the playoffs. So some knowledgeable baseball guys. And then Joe, are there too many wild card teams in playoff spots now?
We're looking at each other like, where's the knowledgeable baseball guy? It has its place to keep, in my opinion, fan interest running through the end of the season. You know, their team has a chance up until sometimes, you know, the end or the last ball game. There's a business end up to it as well, you know, with extra revenues coming in. You know, it's a business. Sometimes they say product on the field instead of playing baseball. On the other hand, a team that's a top team and went through 160 ball games, there's a little bit of a hidden penalty there, so to speak, because they could be out at the end.
Sure.
You know, and they struggled through maybe some tough times with injuries, etc., but held their own. And so it's a kind of a gray area. I could say I'm old school. It shouldn't be any second chances. It was that way when I was coming up, even in high school sports.
Yeah. But now it could even come down to one game, too. Frank, what's your thoughts on this?
I'm inclined to agree with Dan on just about everything, and add to that the fact that I don't like the idea of them playing games in November.
That's a good point, too.
I mean, I know for myself, I don't want to be out there on 32-degree evening trying to hit a baseball, especially with the wooden bats.
Right. Yeah.
Because I remember those when I was playing. Today, the kids with the aluminum bats can still hit it on the handle, and it's not too bad. But I understand the money angle and the fan interest, but I'm with Danny on that. I'm old school. You win it, you deserve it.
Joe, other than that, certainly not going to disagree with
three old school guys.
Good.
I'll take it one step further. National League, 2 divisions. American League, 2 divisions. Division champions play in one. Division champions play in the other. Best of 7. Then the winners play for the World Series. Done. Yeah. You still end up playing a lot of postseason games, 14 of them, and there'll be plenty of revenue and more interest and better teams in the playoffs. Yeah.
I'm glad you answered that question correctly, because now I can ask you some more questions later.
Oh, it must be you agree because you said it was correct.
Absolutely. Well, these guys said it, so they were right. Of course, the DEPI tournament, we want to spend some time talking about that before we get to back to the local national issues. But the DEPI tournament, you guys knew Howard DEPI, too. And first of all, if you could talk a little bit about him, and what would he think that we're looking now 30 years, the 30th anniversary you'll have this weekend. How proud do you think he would be to have his name attached to this event that's really going strong? I mean, the economy with all the issues and charitable events kind of going by the wayside, you guys are really going strong heading into your 30th year.
Well, I think I had the opportunity to coach against Howard both football and baseball. Mm-hmm. And you won't find a nicer guy than Howard DEPI. When he first came up with the idea, I think he talked to several coaches, including Danny, right. Frank Yalenko, Ted Plesel. Yeah. I'm not sure if there were any others, but they spearheaded the effort, and I think they did an outstanding job. And then, of course, ironically enough, both Howard and Frank died from a cancer itself. And so Howard's family then took over, his wife, his son, daughter, and the coaching staff. Since then, Howard's son has moved to North Carolina.
Daughter.
His daughter is down, I believe,
North
working
Carolina.
At Duke or North Carolina, one or the other. And so the coaches who had been in from the beginning, Danny, Ted, got together with a couple of others of us, myself,
Dave Smith,
Mike Sugar,
trainer.
And of course Dave Smith, the trainer from Palmerton, spearheaded the group. He's now the chairman. And I think Howard would be overjoyed and overwhelmed that this went on for 30 years. I mean, it's seldom that you get something to last that long.
Yeah, especially an all-star game.
And especially at this time of year.
Yeah, it's a horrible time of year to coordinate things.
And with all the roadblocks that have been thrown in front of us, and we've still managed to get through those roadblocks. Yeah. I mean, you just got to give the people who are involved with it an awful lot of credit for sticking it out.
Yeah. Dan, what's it like for you to continue to be such a big part of this and to have it do so well?
It's an honor. We raise what money is available to raise by programs and fans that come in. We don't have any corporate sponsorship. The money is second to honoring the seniors. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the DEPI event doesn't end because cancer doesn't end. And that's our big thing that we push for. We all have cancer in our families or know someone who has it. Survivors, those that didn't survive. Mm-hmm. But today more people are living with it and surviving longer. And in the end, that's a win-win because they do battle. Howie would be standing there as I first saw him in the 70s when I was assistant coach at Parkland at the Southern Lehigh High School field. It was about 30 degrees. It was woolen uniforms. The wind went right through them. And Howie, a big man that he was, chewing that gum with a smile on his face. And now I think has that smile is perpetual every year it comes around. And we get sunshine. 2 years in a row, we were rained out on Saturday and the makeup Sunday. Mm-hmm. So Howie, something mustn't have been going well. But from most of the time, we've been there and we've kept it going. Yeah. Through a lot of, like we said, it's prom time, awards nights, Legion baseball, graduations, state playoffs. And yet we still, we work our way through it. It happens. It takes place. And a lot of volunteer umpires. Bill Pencil, he's in charge of getting the umpires in. They work for no pay. Mm-hmm. So it's just it's a wonderful event. It's a nostalgic stadium course. There's people that haven't ever seen a place like this before at Lyon
Special
Court.
To play there.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it is. Yep. So, it's definitely it's a wonderful, positive event for all of us.
Our special guests are Frank Carrazzo, Dan Wakely. They're going to be talking more about the DEPI All-Star event coming up this weekend. Local baseball and Major League Baseball also on tap on tonight's program. Right now it is the shout-out part of the RCN Sports Talk Show.
Shout-out.
Shout out time is where all of us identify someone in the sports world for doing something extraordinary or just to give a simple hello. And this is an overdue shout out on my part. Enrique Hernandez, the host of the RCN popular show Moringa Mania, that's been on the air for a long time. He came up to me the other day and said, hey, you do the shout out for a couple years now. When am I going to get my shout out? So, Enrique, I want to give you a shout out on behalf of all the outstanding work you do for your program and for RCN for many years here. So, Enrique, you deserve that one. Joe, how about you?
Well, my shout out's going to go to a large group of people, and that would be the Pius X student body and all the alums and the athletes from Pius X of Roseto. They just completed their last year. Baseball team got it to the playoffs, and they got beat this past week. And very traumatic experience for all of those folks. Mm-hmm. And sorry to see a school go by the wayside that way, especially one with such great tradition. And we're thinking about you, and we wish you well, and we hope things square up for you.
Okay. Frank, how about you?
I'm going to go with two individuals that we've mentioned already. Dave Smith, who is the chairman of the DEPI Classic, mm-hmm. and he's the chief coordinator. He gets everything together and makes sure everything's operating properly. He gets the equipment, and he gets the water, and he gets the T-shirts that go to the players. And the other guy is Ted Plessel. Ted does all the paperwork involved with getting in the forms that the players have to send in, that the coaches have to send in, dealing with ads, printing of programs. So I'd have to say those two guys are really spearheading the whole project in the last, 10, 12 years.
Yeah.
Dan, how about you?
I'd like to give two shout outs. One to Jack Burgraff, our colleague and committee member's wife, Mrs. Linda Coons Burgraff. Linda, we want you to get well once and be at the game on Saturday, by Jesus. That's for her. And second shout out is for Mike Mihalik, who's a player of mine at Parkland, mm-hmm. In 1998. And to all first-year coaches, along with young Michael, the first year is the toughest year of coaching. Mm-hmm. I don't care how many years you had as an assistant, all of a sudden, it's you, and everything falls on you, all the responsibilities besides what goes on the baseball field. And Mike hung in there, the kids hung in there with him, and he may have proved to be the every year contender and team that they are, and I expect Mike's going to do very well over there as a head coach. And congratulations.
Overcame a slow start. First couple weeks were really tough, but they came back and played well.
How you finish, they did well.
All right, our trivia game and your chance to win a prize coming up in 3 minutes, but right now our first timeout feature of the evening. And a few months ago on this very program, Joe Craig ripped Philippe Amont, calling him a terrible pitcher at the end of spring training, calling for the Phillies to outright release him. As we approach the halfway point of the regular season, the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs AAA season finds Amont as their best starting pitcher as of right now. Here's our conversation with Philippe Amont on his goals here in 2015.
To go out there and get the job done and just trying to chip my way in there and just take that opportunity they're giving me. I just got to go out there and get it done. That's just the bottom line for me. Time is taken for me. I'm not getting any younger. And my goal is still, to be a major league pitcher. So I just got to go out there and get it done and prove, the people at up top that, I deserve, an opportunity. It's something, you got to prepare yourself for. When you're up in Philadelphia, any opportunity you get, you just got to go out there and get it done.
RCN Sports Talk Podcast. Interact with us by sending us your sports comments, questions, and opinions right now or anytime via email to rcnsportstalk@rcn.com. And we may read and respond to your emails on an upcoming program. That's rcnsportstalk@rcn.com. Give and get sports opinions by visiting our sports blog at rcn.com/rcntv, where you can also get updates on sports news and features on teams in the RCN coverage area. You can also call the show directly by dialing 1-844-234-4488 when the show airs live on Thursday evenings, starting at 7 p.m. on RCN-TV. The number again is 1-844-234-4488 between 7 and 7:55 p.m. on Thursdays. Stay tuned. The RCN Sports Talk podcast resumes in 60 seconds. The RCN Sports Talk podcast continues in just seconds. Don't forget, you can send us your feedback and sports comments and questions at any time by emailing us at rcnsportstalk@rcn.com. Or speak with us directly on air during the program's live airing on RCN-TV starting at 7 p.m. on Thursday evenings at 1-844-234-4488. Now, here's more of the RCN Sports Talk podcast.
You can win now.
All right, time for tonight's RCN Sports Talk trivia question. And Joe has approved this question. He said it's actually a good one tonight. So here it is. Our first show really in studio since the draft. And Kevin White with a big day for out of Emmaus. He was selected by the Chicago Bears as the 7th overall pick in this year's NFL draft. Name the other two players that were drafted in the top 10 from the NFL draft who graduated from a Lehigh Valley school. So besides Emmaus product Kevin White, name the only two players picked in the NFL draft's top 10 to graduate from a Lehigh Valley high school. And here's more information on how and what you can win.
You could win a $10 gift certificate to use to see the latest movies and the hottest music, sports, and pay-per-view events on RCN On Demand. You can only win one gift certificate every 4 months. But if you haven't won a prize in the last 30 days, you may be able to win another great prize. Call or email us right now with your trivia response. Callers get priority. But if we don't get a caller with the correct answer during tonight's live sports talk show, we'll take all email responses and conduct a random drawing on our next live show to determine the winner. Watching the show on replay or VOD? Send us your guess now, and you just might win an RCN On Demand $10 certificate. Good luck with Sports Talk Trivia.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk. Our special guests, Dan Wakely and Frank Carrazzo, former baseball managers and current members of the Depi All-Star Classic staff. Joe Craig is here with me creating all kinds of havoc, as he usually does between the commercial breaks. You touched on Lineport. This game's played at Lineport. And there are some wonderful ballparks here in the Lehigh Valley area with High School and Legion and Balliot Stadium and so many great places. But Lineport is one of those that is truly a unique place to play at. So could you talk a little bit about, for people who haven't been there, some of the unique aspects of Lineport Stadium and how much is it part of the Depi game to have that, everything that goes on there, the home run contest and everything, how special it is to play that game and those events and have it at Lineport Stadium?
Well, obviously, the most unique thing I would think is center field. Mm-hmm. Center field rises from about 35 feet beyond second base out to the outfield fence at about 400 feet, and it goes up, I would guess, to 20 feet.
Oh, easy. Jimmy Schaefer can answer that.
Yeah. Easy 20 feet up to the fence. It's a great venue. It really is a great venue with the grandstand that they have, the lights. The infield is impeccable. And these guys, they take a real good care of the place, really good care. I know when we played there, I would tell my kids, especially on a sunny day, I says, this is what baseball's all about. You come here on a beautiful sunny afternoon to a stadium like this, and I would prefer to play doubleheaders when that's the case.
Yeah. But traditional.
It's very traditional. I'm surprised that they haven't leveled out that the center field, but that would take away some of its charm.
Yeah. As a center fielder, you don't like to play there. But,
no.
But as a fan, it is kind of fun to watch.
You guys trip going up the hill chasing the ball. Yeah.
John Fogarty wouldn't like that one. Put me in, coach. Right. Actually, there's a Jimmy Schaefer. According to Jimmy Schaefer, there's a giant boulder out there that they covered it, and that's the deepest they could get it. So that's how.
That's
going
to be a fun place to pitch, though, right?
Oh, just
throw it right down the middle. No one's hitting it straight out.
Right.
It's takes you back. Anyone watched all the League of Their Own with Tom Hanks, and takes you back to that era of fields and cow pastures. Sometimes cows at nighttime, you see some deer coming in to eat the cut corn, and it's got of course all the wooden fence and echo. And when there's something happens and the crowd gets into it, you hear it coming out of the grandstands like that. So, and again, hats off, a tribute to the groundskeeper, and they do it for no fee involved. We have the field to use.
Labor alone.
It's just labor alone.
It is. And that's Howard Fegley was the gentleman responsible. I guess I think he owned a hotel right there nearby. But that way he was a dairy farmer.
Yeah. And they almost have real bulls in the bullpen. Actually, it's cows.
Yeah, one time they did.
What's the schedule of activities like? Because you have condensed games. You used to play several games, and now it's one game. But what's the schedule? When does everything start? And kind of take us through what fans can see on All-Star Day.
Well, we kick off with a home run hitting hitting event contest. Mm-hmm. We used to call it home run. One year, nobody hit any home runs. And we used the pitching machine that year. So we went back to live pitching. And so
you got to have me pitching.
11
People
o'clock
hit home runs
the,
if
oh
you
yeah.
have me pitching.
Oh, yeah. So 11 o'clock is a hitting event. And each of the entrants, they contribute $10 towards the American Cancer Society. Mm-hmm. And then it's a hitting event. Then we have cones out in the field and hit it so far. They get so many points over the fence at a certain point. It's X number of points, et cetera. And that goes on for about an hour, and we have time to get the field ready and preparations for the ball game. Mm-hmm. And what we've done the last 2 years, again, to accommodate everything else going on, and sometimes that third game at night was the two winners of the two previous games would play, and then sometimes shortage of umpires, too. Mm-hmm. And so what we have now is one game, and it could be as many as 12 innings if it goes. If it's a pitchers and defensive game, and we want to get all the all-stars in the ball game at least at some point. It's a continuous hitting lineup, so you got to wait your turn, and then they alternate defensively every inning, so or every other inning. So there's always they're going in and coming out. They're not sitting around the whole time, and it's competitive. The Colonial League they won last year against the East Penn League, so it's very competitive with going Colonial versus East Penn. And Mountain Valley, we fill in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you still get great participation. With all the things going on, you still get a lot of people coming from different school districts from all over the area.
Yeah, last year we had 62 players.
Wow, that's tremendous.
And 15 coaches showed up. So as Danny said, if you play a regular seven-inning game and you got 31 kids on each team, 10 or 12 of them aren't going to get a chance to bat. So we extended it to 9, and then we went even further to 12. Before, when there were two games, it was fairly easy to get it to accommodate everybody. But the idea is that kids are going to travel from, in some cases, pretty far distance. Yeah. And to have them come down there and play two innings in the field and never get to see a pitch, is kind of defeats the purpose. So at least this way we make sure everybody gets at least one turn at the plate.
And it's great you mentioned that, because I remember a couple times I was there and people had the family there, they were excited to play in the game, and they didn't get in. So that's great you make sure that everyone gets a chance. All right, our special guests, Frank Carrazzo and Dan Wakely. We're going to be talking a roundtable with local and national topics coming up in just a few minutes. Also still looking for a correct answer to our trivia question. Question again, Kevin White was selected by the Chicago Bears as the number 7 pick overall in this year's NFL draft. Name the other two players drafted in the top 10 of the NFL draft that graduated from Lehigh Valley High Schools. Still looking for a correct answer to that. Joe, by the way, your information is wrong. I'll tell you during the break
why.
It is, in fact, Joe Craig's favorite part of the show. It is time for Joe's Take, where Joe gets to sound off on anything that he would like to talk about going on in the world of sports. It can be local, regional, or national. And most importantly to Joe, I'm not allowed to interrupt him during his segment, which is exactly 47.6 seconds long.
Hey, listen, you know, we're always hearing about young people today and how selfish they are. They're always taking care of themselves, and they don't care about what's going on around them. I can tell you what, there's been a couple examples lately we got to mention. First of all, Shaquan Barkley from Whitehall High School won a gold medal in the District 11 sprints. And there was a young lady by the name of Rachel Panic from Saucon Valley who won her event in the hurdles, but it had to be rerun because of a timing problem. And she did not win it the second time around, so she didn't get the medal. And Shaquan took it upon himself to take his gold medal and give it to Rachel Panic. Great job by a young man. Second one I got to mention too, Chad Rex from Whitehall High School. King of the court for his prom and escorted a young lady by the name of, and I got to make sure I get this right, Crystal Reyes. She's a special needs student and she was also, by the grace of goodness, she was crowned as queen of the prom, and Chad took care of her and escorted her and made sure it was a special night for her. Whitehall High School, you have a lot to be proud of with those two young men. And I contend that a lot of young people are like that. A lot more good ones than bad ones. Believe me. And that's Joe's Take.
And congratulations to you for mentioning that. Two very good stories here. Mention here, RCN Sports Talk, our next show on the road is RCN Sports Talk Gets Wild. Will be on Thursday, June 25th from 7 to 8 p.m. Come out and catch the show. We're going to be supporting and having a fundraiser for a great local charity. Can't give you the details as of now, but trust me, it is a great local organization, and we're going to be doing a fundraiser for them. So come on out. Our guests are going to be members of the Parkland Football championship team, District 11 championships. We didn't have them on during the fall, so we're going to have them on to talk about last year, that controversial finish that Joe was railing about weeks afterwards. And we'll get their thoughts on defending their title, because it looks like it's going to be an awesome year in the EPC for very competitive high school
football. Especially for Parkland.
So Parkland, of course, the team to beat, defending champs, they will be your special guests. As RCN Sports Talk Gets Wild at Buffalo Wild Wings, Grape Street in Whitehall, and we're going to have a great event to support a local charity, so come on out there, support the charity, support the Trojans, and we'll see you there for Sports Talk Gets Wild on
might
June
even get
25th.
On the air. You might even get on the air.
You can talk to Joe, you can say, make a comment, you can throw objects at him if you want. We'll be back with more Sports Talk in just a moment.
Program. That's RCN Sports Talk at RCN.com. Give and get sports opinions by visiting our sports blog at RCN.com/RCNTV, where you can also get updates on sports news and features on teams in the RCN coverage area. You can also call the show directly by dialing 1-844-234-4488 when the show airs live on Thursday evenings, starting at 7 p.m. on RCN-TV. The number again is 1-844-234-4488 between 7 and 7:55 p.m. on Thursdays. Stay tuned. The RCN Sports Talk podcast resumes in 60 seconds.
You are listening to the RCN Sports Talk podcast. Send us a comment or question, or to participate in the program, email us at rcnsportstalk@rcn.com, and we might read and respond on an upcoming episode. If you catch the show live, you can call us at 1-844-234-4488 on Thursday evenings between 7 and 8 p.m. Stay tuned for more of the RCN Sports Talk podcast.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk. I'm not even going to say your name.
Why Joe Craig is here.
Joe's creating trouble with our trivia question. I'll explain why in a second. Frank Carrazzo and Dan Wakely, our special guests, former baseball managers, guys playing pro.
That's all, folks.
Stop asking my question. Do you want your answer? I will stop the show to answer your question. He's asking the question, wasn't Mike Hartenstein in the top 10? I coached Mike Hartenstein.
No,
he's the greatest player of all time, thanks to me. Here it is.
He was drafted
in the second round, 31st overall.
Okay.
That is
right.
The second round. Can I continue with the show now?
Now you can continue.
So you're going to admit you're wrong?
Top 10.
Apologize?
He was underrated.
All right.
Go ahead.
Let's go to the phone lines here. We have, first of all, Keith, we apologize. We lost you. Keith from Allentown. Give us a call back here. We'll try to get you on here. We had just a technical issue. But Austin, I believe, is still on the line. So Austin from Bethlehem, welcome to RCN Sports Talk.
Hello.
Hi, Austin. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Oh, pretty well, except for Joe.
Everybody but me.
Yeah.
What do you got for us?
Maybe you want to take a shot at the trivia. Trivia question.
Chuck Benarik and Keith Dorney.
Oh, you nailed it.
You got it right on the button.
What high schools did they come from? Who drafted them?
No, you got it. You know what high schools they both came from. Good job.
Yeah.
Very good.
Thank you.
And nice job for not mentioning Mike Hartenstein, because he's not part of the correct answer.
Thanks for calling in.
Yep. Yeah, he'll be getting back to you right after the show, all right?
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Good job, Austin.
All right.
Awesome. Have a good one.
Yeah, you too. Thanks for joining us. And again, Keith had a football question. So, Keith, we apologize. But if you want to cop on board, we'll try to get to your question real
fast. I wasn't sure where he was, but I thought he was in the top 15 or so. But the other one would have been the other one would have been Matt Millen, who was, I know, was drafted pretty high also. But that's okay.
Here's the sheet. Call Dennis Rimmel tomorrow and complain.
Oh, you asked Dennis this?
Yes.
Well, now there's your problem. that tells me a lot. And Dennis will laugh when he hears me say that.
Are you done?
Yes, I'm done.
All right. It is time for the roundtable part of the show. The roundtable is where we have a whole host of local, regional, and national sports topics that our panelists do not know about prior to their arrival in the show. Always looking for an entertaining exchange of thoughts and opinions between our guests. Joe is usually wrong with his answer, but we have him on each week anyway. Topic number one here, and Joe, you're going to love this question right off the bat.
I know that. I saw it.
There is a new rising star here in the Lehigh Valley, so we're going to take a look at the video here. And Joe, I want your honest impressions of your thoughts of this top young athlete here in the Eastern Pennsylvania region out there. The skill of LeBron James, the inside presence of David Robinson, and the rebound ability of. Why are you shaking your head?
I'm watching this, and first of all, I've never seen you in shorts. About as ridiculous.
By the way,
as I've
this is footage,
seen.
And I want to thank the Catholic schools, the Archdiocese of Allentown, Jim Krupke, and his whole crew. They had me as part of their celebrity, quote unquote, celebrity team.
Outstanding.
And DRF head coach Joe Jarjuice was raining threes, by the way, too. But surprisingly, we lost. But a big thank you to Catholic Schools Week, the Archdiocese, Sacred Heart.
Outstanding.
And you can see some great athletes. By the way, Central Catholic, I know they had a pretty good year last year in basketball. They have at least three studs that are coming up through the system.
Yeah, but they were playing against you.
Well, they look impressive regardless. I think they're going to be good.
Danny, I've seen you play sports a long time, and I mean,
Come on. Chris Michael, are you kidding me?
No, wait, Dan Wakely is a nice guy.
He's
here.
Got potential.
Dan, your honest impression
potential.
Here. Honest, weren't you impressed by that skill that I showed there on the highlights?
Actually, you did look pretty good on that layup. I was impressed.
It was very impressive.
But you really shouldn't wear shorts.
All right, forget
you shouldn't wear shorts.
Let's move on. Topic number two. High school baseball, quality of high school baseball in this area. On the rise, on the decline, or status quo? You guys have seen a lot of baseball for many years. So, Frank, we'll start with you. Quality of baseball right now, the high school level.
I would think, as far as I can see, that there is a decline in participation.
Okay.
But I think there is at least a slow rise in the quality of play.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen a lot of high school baseball the last couple of years, but what I have seen impresses me. The kudos have to go to the coaches who are doing a good job teaching the fundamentals, and these kids are learning the right way.
Mm-hmm. Dan, how about you? Your thoughts on high school baseball?
I see it at a higher level as far as high school baseball. I mean, there's players that were equal to players years ago. Personally, I was involved with Frank Yalenko originally, Gene Yanni, Bill Fritzinger. Sadly, the three of those gentlemen aren't with us anymore. And we pioneered in fall baseball in the Lehigh Valley.
Sure,
and I think of teams like the Moosic Mets up in the Scranton area, and Harry Nelson, and the Mid-Penn Aces in Harrisburg, and the Allegheny Pirates out in western Pennsylvania. And those high school kids were all draftable. They were on the Pirates scout list. Mm-hmm. And then East Cobb, Georgia, we played teams. North Carolina, we were all over the East Coast, Connecticut, et cetera. And more baseball players are playing baseball longer.
Mm-hmm.
And the season is extended. And when you have some good coaches in those extended programs that, you know, work with what the high school coaches are doing, you're going to have better programs. And as Frank said, the high school coaches, these guys are students of the game, which you have to be. They're going to clinics. They're watching videos. They're feeding off of each other as well, you know, mm-hmm. instead of, you know, kind of being, you know, the egotist, and I'm not going to, you know, you get better as a coach. And when you're playing better teams and winning organizations, you've got to get better. You want to get better to keep up with them, be able to, you know, to knock them off once in a while.
Yeah. All right, Joe, real quick.
More specialized today. There are not nearly as many kids playing more than one sport. So a lot of the baseball players now are playing ball 12 months out of the year.
Right.
They're going to camps, they're going to special training, you name it. They're doing all kinds of things. I think that's the biggest difference. Therefore, the product is probably more refined than it's ever been. I'm not sure that they're tougher. I'm not sure that they're more gritty than the kids were 30 years ago, but
no.
I think they're more refined because they're specializing and not concentrating on a lot of other sports.
All right, as we mentioned earlier in tonight's program, the Parkland boys baseball team has already won tonight. Becca has also won their second round state playoff game. Becca girls softball team began another state run this week with an opening round state playoff win yesterday against the Jersey Shore. Sports Talk's Alyssa Scheckler was at Pates Park yesterday for the Hawks season state playoff opening victory.
Our season's been full of up and downs, but we've been battling every single game and coming through clutch.
It was a good game. They were a good team and they came out strong, but so did we. And we've been working for this for the past week because we've had off. So I think we did come out strong and we played really well.
We knew they were a very good team, very good hitting team. I mean, they scored a ton of runs this year. They probably scored more runs in three or four games than we scored all year.
Next game's going to be a battle again. Every team at this point in the season is really, really good. So we just got to come ready and fight hard.
Well, I'm really proud of the team. They played really well today. And I'm proud of Elise for coming back. And so hopefully we'll go back to Penn State. We're super excited. We were there last year. So it was a good run. And now we're hoping to get back. We're really motivated to do it.
Today's game was a total team effort, offensively and defensively. We're clicking on all cylinders right now. And nobody can stop us.
Thank you. at rcn.com, and we might read and respond on an upcoming episode. You can also send us possible show topics and future guest suggestions by emailing chris.michael@rcn.net. If you catch the show live, you can call us at 1-844-234-4488 on Thursday evenings between 7 and 8 p.m. That number again, 1-844-234-4488. Stay tuned for more of the RCN Sports Talk podcast. Listening to the RCN Sports Talk podcast. Send us a comment or question, or to participate in the program, email us at rcnsportstalk@rcn.com, and we might read and respond on an upcoming episode. If you catch the show live, you can call us at 1-844-234-4488 on Thursday evenings between 7 and 8 p.m. Stay tuned for more of the RCN Sports Talk podcast.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, our final minutes with Dan Wakely and Frank Carrazzo. And again, don't forget to check out the Howard Deppe All-Star Classic coming up this Saturday. Weather permitting at Lineport Stadium, Sunday is the rain day. Continuing with our roundtable topics, topic number four is our yes-no question. But do you like the officials' use of instant replays in baseball? Dan, I know you're kind of passionate about this issue, so your thoughts on instant replay in baseball.
We're going to technology and everything we do, especially video. Mm-hmm. It has minimized the umpires and the tobacco spitting and the kicking dirt at home plate. That's a good thing.
I miss the umpires.
Less managers are getting thrown out. Sometimes they do it for a reason, to pep up the team or what have you. The fans don't seem to boo as much on a call because it can be the ones that can be replayed, and then you hear the cheers when it gets called. It's taken away from the human element in the ball game. Maybe they should go to electronic strike zone and just keep the umpire like it did in the old
light
days out until the ball's hit, and then he comes into the action. Because the strike zone is different sometimes from umpire to umpire.
All right. Frank, how about you?
I'm going to go almost totally opposite. From what I've seen, instant replay has upheld the umpire's decision almost 99% of the time. That's a guess. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, they're right.
Yeah.
I am not in favor of it. Mm-hmm. Not at all. Simply because it's an unnecessary delay. Baseball's long enough as it is. Games have seemed to be stretching and stretching and stretching.
Yeah.
Anything to do to speed up the course of the game so that it doesn't drag out and drag out and drag out. So I also like the fact that there's a little controversy. It gives you something to talk about. Did you see that dumb call? Oh, this and that. Right. Hey, the umpires are thick-skinned enough.
Joe, last 20 seconds of yours.
Do away with it. I like the human element. I'm a traditionalist. Let them make the calls. They make a mistake, gives us something to talk about and scream about. If they get it right, we say, hey, that guy's really good. But I like the human element. And I don't like the DH either.
Mike Hartenstein was drafted in the second round, by the way. Just want to interrupt you to point that out.
All right, next time I see him,
I'll have him come in. The Howard Deppe All-Star Classic coming up this Saturday at Lineport Stadium. Make sure you check it out. For Joe, I'm Chris. Good night, everyone.